Hello all, and welcome to Awakening, part of the Converged Flow. I am your host and co-pilot, Michelle Mache. Welcome to all of you entering the chat room, the sacred space of empowerment. And hello to all of you listening via cosmicdimensions.com, broadcasting live as well there. And hello to all of you that are listening later via iTunes and the other archive outlets and podcast stations. Hello to those that you are listening on your treadmill or on your exercise bicycle, which is how many of you listen to Awakenings on the archive. It's all good, all wonderful. Here at Awakenings, we are highlighting conscious living for conscious lives. Awakenings is a place for awakening conversations with artists, musicians, metaphysicians, authors, visionaries, conscious experts, healers, spiritual teachers, and conscious beings of all walks of life that are progressive thinkers in their own fields that are waking up, are awake, and awakening more and more and revealing and reflecting their awakening through their way of being in the world. Awakenings also is a part of a relaying of essential information, insights, inspiration, and tools for transformation and spiritual unfoldment. And in the yoga vernacular, it's taking it off of the mat and making our meditation a living state instead of a state we go to. It's a state we live from and live within. And many are waking up and realizing that it's time not to hide anymore. So more on that. If you'd like to contribute in the chat and participate and give your feedback, you can simply just register with Blog Talk Radio, and all that requires, I believe, is just your, so long ago since I did it, I don't recall, but I think it's just your name and email address. And people in the chat can help as well in there if people are new and say, oh, I want to put my 2 cents in or 50 cents in. So all of that is good. And then if you'd love to chat by phone or listen by phone, or you have a question or a comment, which we always love, the number is 347-539-5122, 347-539-5122. Get your tea, get your coffee, if it's later, whatever you're, get snuggly and cozy, because we have a great guest on that I always enjoy speaking with and sharing with and dialoguing with and hearing what she's up to. I'll be calling Dr. Jude Kuravan a little bit later, who is a channel, a cosmologist, a scientist, works also in the realm of physics, metaphysics, quantum physics as well. Also an astrologer, and travels the world doing her healing work and sharing her insights and wisdom. Many of you know her also as well as an author of many books and CDs. One of note, The 13th Step. She's a Hay House author, and we're going to be talking a bit about 2012 and the positive new beginning. So I want to hear her take on this, as she is very gifted and very dialed in. And also we're going to be talking about Path for Hope, initiative that she has started. So promises to be a great sharing, great time for all. Tammy just said this is the second time she's heard this phrase today. Take your yoga off the mat and into the world. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. You know, probably as you tuned in, well, let me just say also, if you do have a question or comment and you're calling in, 347-539-5122, just press number 1 on the keypad, and then that alerts me that you have a question or comment, that you want to be heard, that you're not just listening. Because we have a lot of listeners by phone. Some email me ahead of time and say, don't pick up, but others don't, and then, I don't want to fluster anybody that I was just listening, I was just listening, don't pick up the phone, but I might anyway, as Sylvia found out the other day. especially if I recognize your number. But no, she had pressed one. But so I see you, Sylvia. Welcome. Welcome, everyone. Well, all my wonderful connections, connectees. I love all of you and all such so gifted, the space that you are co-creating here and what you're doing in the world with your awareness and your insight. Yes, back to taking it off the mat. Yes, you know, as you probably gathered by Wednesday, this past Wednesday, 2 days ago, our guest was on the set of a reality program or TV program, and couldn't get to a phone, which I kind of had picked up. I had talked to Linda about, and having done lots of TV, I know how that can sometimes be. Sometimes you can sneak off, though. I mean, I've done it before. But sometimes, you know, when sessions go over and so on and so on, so I totally could understand that. But it did give me a chance to share a bit, talk a bit, of what I've been increasingly impassioned about. And part of it has been by the major nudging from the spiritual hierarchy and the oversouls of new forms are needed, new forms are needed. When is everybody getting their, you know, what together out there? When is, you know, when are people stepping forward? Come on, come on, come on. And also coming across in my practice, my healing practice, my life coaching or spiritual life coaching practice, so many amazing people and gifted people and wonderful healers and wonderful conscious beings that want to do, you know, so much, you know, whether it's just their consciousness, even in finance, things that they want to do to help empower people. Tammy's putting, oh, that's what happens. It was a divine show, perfect timing. Yes, it was, Tammy. I loved it. I loved it. Yes, nudging, nudges in the chat is saying nudging. Did you hear her say that? Yeah, I love it. Divine nudge. We get nudges. Sometimes we get nudges and sometimes we get pushes. It's just a bigger nudge. But it's good to be a nudge. It's good to be a nudge for somebody next to you, and it's good to be nudged. Because when you're nudged, I'm going to get my little Yiddish in. When you're nudged, it is your spirit. It is your higher self using the subtle energy that is you to prompt the ego personality part of you into a new direction or into more unfoldment of you. And since the quickening of 2006, you know, we need more people that are more conscious, more aware in the mainstream environment, in the general populace, in all realms. Teaching, being a professor, being an administrator, being a politician, local, global, what have you, environment, you know, recycling, you know, trash, refuge, secretaries, CEOs, assistants, you know, rock and rollers, you know, chanters, hip hop artists, you name it, whatever it is that we have in this world of creation, and even that which hasn't been created yet, we need consciousness in form, which means us, our consciousness, or those that are living more and more awake. So really, it's not about anymore about kind of just chatting about things, talking about things, which are great. All the workshops are great. All the seminars are great. All the chat rooms are great. You know, having those wonderful parlor time, psychic parlor, if you will, where you hang out and just chat about what you've experienced yourself and what you know and how you're connected in. And that sharing is so important. In the Eastern tradition, we call it the Sangha or Satsang. So important. However, it's again about taking it out of the meditation temple, out of the Himalayas, okay? Out of this is one of the bigger reasons, and anybody that's ever heard the Dalai Lama speak, I don't know if he's still speaking on this, or if you've had I had years ago a smaller salon with him or whatever. And he spoke and said that one of the reasons, the tragedy and the travesty of the Tibetan people and the Tibetan monks has an upside. And that upside is to get their way of thinking and being out, to get another road and the map to this road of conscious living out there in the world. And he admits that they wouldn't have left, the Tibetans would have never left unless they were pushed out. And that's like many of us at home. We would never leave unless it got a little hot in the kitchen. And Baby Times asking, what's satsang? Yes, satsang or sangha is, it's just, those are Sanskrit words that you find in many of the Eastern tradition of Hinduism or Buddhist philosophy, that just means like-minded individuals getting together and to kind of reaffirm, confirm what you know, go over spiritual talks, spiritual practices, spiritual philosophy, understanding. It helps to reinforce your path and then share with others. We're having a satsang here, a sangha here. Another thing is a service or a church service or going to temple. That it's the community. It's the community of the like-minded individuals getting together to share, to reinforce what you know. Satsang, it gives you that spiritual nourishment, that spiritual insight, that spiritual upliftment is very much a part of satsang or sangha. Chanting. If you're more in a Western tradition, singing, devotion, bhakti, which is all love, which means love in Sanskrit, and devotion. So devotion or love to that, what if you want to say God consciousness, all that is, higher power or spirit, the great white spirit, or to nature. It just depends. Or you know what's interesting? Every religion or doctrine or system of thought or system of spiritual thought and spiritual principle, every, if you want to call it a congregation, a non-denominational congregation, has a time, usually weekly and sometimes more than once a week, where they get together and connect and share their insight, their understanding, and receive that upliftment, receive that spiritual nourishment, the spiritual food. And many of them have food with it also, especially in the Eastern tradition. You know, they have prasad, which represents the gift from God or God consciousness. So Baby Time, oh, I understand, I was a Buddhist. Okay, now I'm a Catholic. Oh, very cool. Okay. But it's all the same. I mean, it's so much the same that, you know, maybe the approach is a little bit different or the language is a little bit different, but kind of all the same. So a major call, though, is to not just stay within one's group, to be shored up, to be sustained, to be affirmed or confirmed or reaffirmed, confirmed, to use a Catholic term, to confirm your faith, your understanding, your beliefs, to be reinforced, if you will, to be uplifted and nurtured, but to then go out into the world with this. And also to live more from this place, live more from that meditative state or aware state or conscious state, instead of only living this way or being reminded of this on a Saturday or a Sunday. You know, some people have a Friday night, you know, Friday night, Saturday, you know, the Sabbath, or a Sunday. Some people have service on a Wednesday. So, and Tammy's putting to be flexible and expansive, yoga off the mat. Yeah. Well, and I go back to think of yoga. The whole idea is to have flexibility of body and mind, and it's to be the analogy that when the mind is flexible, the body's flexible. When the body's flexible, the mind is flexible, so that we don't have the attachments, you know, of belief or thought that's holding us in. You know, one of the poisons, I guess, of body and mind is, you know, the attachment, ignorance. I don't remember the other one. I don't remember if it was greed. But to release that and to show up in that aligned state or meditative state where you just show it very clear, just to respond, not to react, but just to respond to that which is in the present. So part of that responding, though, is really listening to our higher self, that higher consciousness that we are, and beginning to bring these tenets, these principles into our everyday living. So that what begins to happen is that people are living more of this rather than just talking about it or thinking about it. And one of the ways to do that is to begin to actualize more of what it is that you are being guided to do. Not always what you feel like you want to do, unless it's a feeling tone or sensing, more of an intuitive awareness. But to begin, you know, many people right now are looking around and saying, this no longer serves me, or this isn't as, this container's too small, or I want to expand more, or I want to bring more of me. How many have been saying this? And if you have, I'd love to hear from you in the chat room or call in. I'm back. I better do a little disclaimer. I thought that the lines were better, but I'm in Southern California, and we have had, some of you may know this, extreme, for us anyway, actually for anywhere, because, you know, we've had some tornadoes and such, and some, you know, I haven't been in that, but I've been in major rainstorm, windstorm, and some of my phone lines are down, and my internet is a little intermittent, so we may be doing the losing connection, having to call back today, so just so everybody knows, that's what's going on. And yes, in the chat, I'm back. Amazing rainstorms, which have been amazing, and windstorms, but a lot of phone lines either down or overly wet or just whatever happens electrically. So, but what I was saying is, how many of you or have heard people saying for the last few years, and especially the last 6 to 8 months, I want to do something that has more of me in it? You know, I want my life to be more about me. I want to do a job or have a career where it's more about me or more about what I really like. See, there's a major paradigm shift that's been happening, that it used to be you take a job for money, you know, and hopefully you like it somewhat or you like the people, but it was more about the money or what it could buy, the lifestyle that it could give you. That's been shifting. You know, and many of us already kind of came in with this, that we're, you know, didn't go that route. But the people that have gone that route are now seeing that maybe that is not the best route, except maybe in short term, but not to live your whole life, you know, with 20, 25, 40, 50, 70 years, you know. For some people, you know, I've met people that are in their 70s and 80s that say, well, they've been working 60 years, 70 years. Even though they could retire, you know, they keep creating, you know, whatever it is, odd jobs or, you know, freelance work or contract work, or, you know, serial entrepreneurs that open up a whole other business. So if you think about it, that's a long time to be doing something just for the money. A long time to just be doing something that is just so that you could have certain things instead of live a certain way and feel a certain way. So if you've been asking yourself that, I want something that is more about me or represents me more or I'm more fulfilled, that is a nudge, a divine nudge, that something more wants to emerge through you. There are a vocation or a way of relating or a way of being or maybe a new you know, hobby or something, but there is more creative energy or more self-expressive energy that wants to come through you. That's a huge, huge sign that changes are afoot, and you could either flow with it or resist it and have more of what they call a disruptive innovation, or you can innovate by co-creating. Okay, I'd love to give Jude a call. And those of you that just tuning in, we're going to be talking with Dr. Jude Kuravan and cosmologist.
Hello.
Hello, Jude. Welcome to Awakenings.
Hello, Michelle. It's absolutely lovely to be back with you all.
Welcome back. And I just had to say before the program, we lost connection, and I'm in Southern California, and we've had major, major rainstorms and windstorms. So I've got two phones out and one cell phone that got wet, so I'm going to have to get a new one. And so and the internet's been in and out intermittently, so it's been very extreme. It's been beautiful though, but it has wrecked a lot of havoc.
I was aware of that to some degree because I was in a conference call the other day with some folks in the Bay Area as well, and you know, they kept losing the connection. So is it looking as though the storms are moving on, or are they there for a while, or has it came out?
I believe it's moving on, but it's lessening and then moving on. So,
right, okay.
I mean, the one thing, many upsides, obviously has caused a lot of destruction, but a lot of people forget that California actually is a desert, just like Mexico. Yeah. So we really do need the rain. We really do need it, and we've just gotten so much of it at one point. It's just kind of amazing, you know, when you just hear the whipping and see trees, you know, moving and, you know, uplifted.
It is. It's awesome, and it's, you know, it's frightening, but it's also incredibly exhilarating, you know, sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it depends what your perspective is at the time.
Yeah, or what happens.
Exactly.
If a tree had fallen on my car, I might be saying something different.
Quite right. Quite right. We've been having a lot of snow here. You know, the most snow we've had for 30 years. And, you know, we've had hardly anything compared to some of you folks on the East Coast. But for us, it's a big thing. And I've loved it, Tony and I have loved it, because we've been inside, you know, with our little wood stove and looking outside, but for the folks that are having to, you know, go in it and work in it, it is a different space.
Yeah, it is a different
space. Really,
but
yeah.
Just like you have to be where you are, so if you're enjoying it, you have to own up that you're enjoying it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And on that note, I wanted to add, because I feel so much with the extreme weather that we've had kind of from the get-go of the beginning of the year. And I'm wondering, are you feeling also that there's an increased energy or momentum or movement?
Very, very much so. I mean, we had the blue moon on the 31st of December with the lunar eclipse. We then have the 2 weeks running to the 15th of January and the ring of fire, the annular solar eclipse. And we have Mercury retrograde throughout that time. So it's like the energies are really ratcheting up, I feel, at the moment. I wrote out at the December solstice about this and said that all of the major planetary influences that were with us in 2009, sure, they change, but the theme remains about change. And also there's this push-me-pull you going on between, and it's all positive, but very challenging. In the planets are really, in my view, supporting us to change, to move forward. And so it's like, you know, when you have a car that's got a flat tire and you get a jack and you start to sort of ratchet the body of the car up, the way the jack works, it goes only one way. So it ratchets the car gradually up, but you can't go down again unless you release the whole thing. And it's almost as though all the major astrological influences are ratcheting us up to say, yet we have to go forward. And I'm fascinated in the last day or so with President Obama finally bless him, turning to the banks and saying, enough is enough.
Yeah.
I'm starting to listen to the likes of Paul Volcker, who's been saying this for a while. You know, I was saying this, and I'm not Paul Volcker, but I've been saying this for a long time. We have to recognize that we have to radically shift from what was the status quo. And it's only the fear and the control and the vested interests that are trying to keep us in that completely unsustainable place. And the planets and the astrology is actually offering us, if we're prepared to have the courage to change, enormous support to actually manifesting that change.
The extreme, you know, like, again, what's, I feel, near to
the weather,
but also when you're talking about astrologically, the aspects. We've had what the Saturn in Libra is aspecting something. There's an Mars Aries, isn't there, aspect?
There is. I guess the one that I'd sort of, in terms of us talking about the radical changes, is this series of oppositions between Saturn and Uranus. Mm. And they are energizing the push for radical improvements. And especially in the positioning they have in the business and economic areas. And they're going to continue this push-me-pull-you, but this ratcheting until late July this year. So in a sense, Uranus is saying, look, radical change is needed. It's a great awakener. But he's also saying one thing that we are going to have to learn to do over the next few years through this whole shift and transitionary process is learn to flow with enduring uncertainty.
Mm.
Yeah, I talk a lot about as being surfers, cosmic surfers. And, you know, when you look at a surfer, they ride the wave. They, you know, they go where the wave takes them. And they always have to be present, because if they look forward or back, they'll fall off the board. If they aren't flexible, if they're not continually adjusting on the board, you know, if they're rigid, they'll fall off. And, you know, this is a time when we're all cosmic surfers. So, yeah, I go around high-fiving everybody and calling everybody dude and wearing my shades and very bad shirts. Get the message across.
Yeah, right. I love it. Well, you know, and on that note, that kind of ties in with people moving more forward, at least to surf, you have to at least get in the water.
You have to get in the water. And, you know, a wave's going to come along and you have to catch that wave. Otherwise, you're stagnant. And that wave will rise, it will peak, it will fall away, and another wave will come along. You know, but it's being present, it's being a moment, it's being flexible. And actually, you know, and I know this of myself, so good heavens, you know, I'm sure everyone, all our listeners are, you know, the guys who are joining us know this. You know, change isn't always easy, we know that. We sort of hang on to our comfort blankets, even when those comfort blankets are very painful because they're what we know. But all I would say to everyone listening and everyone I'm working with around the world is see this as an amazing opportunity, because it truly is, and we're being offered incredible support, but we literally have to let go of those old fixed ways of being to flow through this incredible moment of our human story. You know, we really are in the momentous time when we can embrace our cosmic destiny, but we have to let go of the past.
Mm.
We have to release it.
And there seems to be such a, I don't know what it is, but maybe it is because the change is hard, like you're saying, but it seems to be such a resistance to letting go, even though something is not necessarily working.
Mm.
There's this holding on. And is that reflected astrologically as well? Is that why some seem to be letting go and moving with it. Others seem to be reaching their hand out for help, but...
Yeah.
The same hand they want to reach out, they're holding back, sort of.
You know, it's a difficult one, I feel, to really answer. I think, you know, it is our nature. It's human nature. It's not just if you look at animals also. You know, if we've got a zone, a comfort zone that we can move within, then oftentimes we're more likely to remain in that way. You know, often change is because we're pushed or we have no other choice than to jump. And in a way as well, from a perspective perhaps of consciousness exploring itself, you know, it's almost as though we want to explore every little last ounce of what it is about that particular, you know, experience before we're ready to go forward. But I would say that, you know, with the changes that we're experiencing already with the climate, we are co-evolutionary partners with Gaia, and she's changing as well. And so it's incumbent upon all of us to recognize that. But what I truly believe, is that the more we are able to just take a deep breath and jump, the more graceful whatever changes are coming will be. We will experience them in a much more positive, much more inspirational, much more graceful way, both of us and Gaia, if we are willing to make that jump.
Mm.
It's when we, you know what it's like, when we hold on and hold on and hold on, the change is much more difficult, much more painful.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like, to use the analogy again with the surfing, it seems that when you do start letting go, you really are riding that wave. No matter how choppy it is, you're still at least on the board. You know, you're still...
Absolutely. I mean, have you ever been with either yourself or any listeners, been to one of those great sort of theme parks where they have the water chute, you know? And you're at the top of the water chute. And I've seen it so many times, I've done it myself. And you're hanging on, I'm like, I can't do this. And then either you let go of your own, or usually it's a brother, or in my case, your husband, gives you this little push. And you know, you're no choice. And you're down that water chute, and it is the thrill of a lifetime.
Right. Yes, yes.
But in the meantime, you're so desperately holding on to the top, going, I'm not. So that's what it feels like. We really need to go on those ways. We need to become the cosmic surfers that we're here to be.
Mm, I love that, surfing. And, you know, it's such a, we've got the metaphor, surfing the net, Twitter, you know, you're swimming in it or you're surfing it, you know, all these analogies with water.
I know.
Isn't that amazing?
It is, you know, and it's almost like water to the ancients, of course, was the archetypal element of emotion. And emotions, energy in motion. But it's going with what feels right. You know, opening our hearts is so important. Because when we close our hearts down, that's when we go into the fear. When we open our hearts, it just gives us the courage. You know, the French for heart is cœur. So courage is the bravery of the heart. And that's, yeah, and we can help each other with that. Because we are literally all in this together.
Yes, we are. And maybe that's a big part of it is, as we're sharing information, there is more of that help and hope.
Yes.
You know, yes. It's a combination. When you are helped, you become more hopeful.
Exactly. And, you know, I feel that we are waking up and we are beginning to awaken the universal heart, the eighth chakra within us. And that is why I do feel there's been such an incredible outpouring of compassion for what's been going on in Haiti over the last few days.
Mm.
You know, we're realizing now that we really are a human family. And there's no such thing as, you know, somebody over there is not my concern. We're all each other's concern.
Mm.
We truly are family.
It's a beautiful way to put it. We are all each other's concern. Boy, that is really true.
Mm.
And you have, if you can talk a little bit about this initiative that you're starting, and I believe traveling with, the Path for Hope.
Yeah, it sort of, in that time, I don't know if any of our listeners felt this, but certainly I'm feeling more and more now the need to really align myself consciously with these astrological influences. And, of course, we have Mercury retrograde for 3 weeks between Boxing Day, the 26th of December, and the 15th of January. And I'd found personally last year was a year of completions for me.
Mm.
It was 10 years since literally everything I thought, going back to not letting go, going back to literally losing virtually everything. My then husband left me. I lost my home. I lost my business. I lost, you know, virtually everything except my beloved cat. And so last year was a year of completion, and a lot of people coming back into my life that were there at the, you know, the beginning of that 10-year cycle. And as the year came to an end, and as we went into Mercury retrograde through that, you know, Christmas, New Year, early January period, I started to get the same sort of download that actually I'd had 10 years before that led to the 13 global pilgrimages that I write about in the 13th step and the eighth chakra, and that really brought forward so much of what I write about and share with people now. And in this time, this period, yeah, I was getting a new level of downloads. And what it is that we are on a spiral of awakening consciousness. So what happens is that it goes around. But every time we complete a spiral, we are more awakened. So although the same themes may present themselves, we're able to understand them, deal with them, release them, heal them at a much deeper level. And so what was coming to me over this period was something, a three-year process, a three-year initiative, a three-year whatever we want to call it, that I'm calling the Path for Hope. And hope in this instance is healing our people and, for a, Earth. So it's very much about taking to that whole next level of deep, deep, deep healing of our collective psyche and all of the schisms, wounds, residual rifts that we have within our collective, and also we have within our consciousness and the consciousness of Gaia. And so it's going to be a series of journeys to places of deep, deep trauma, such as Vietnam, Auschwitz, Japan and Hiroshima, Cambodia, etc. But it's also now, with all the communications we have, it's about inviting a global community to come together to attune in the universal heart on a regular basis for such healing. And it literally invites every being, not just humanity and all the ancestors of humanity, but literally every being that is part of the consciousness of the matrix of consciousness that is Gaia and it is our entire solar system. Because when you look at the Mayan cosmology, the Mayan cosmology sees this time as we move into 2012 as a shift into effectively becoming galactic humans. So it's a shift of our entire solar, S-O-U-L-A-R, S-O-L-A-R systems, consciousness on all the dimensions and realms. So that is the aim of the Path for Hope, is to work in service to that healing and wholeness to help support that shift.
And now when you're going, and the Path for Hope, and that is healing our people and Earth?
Yes.
I want to make sure, okay. And on your, Jude, is there information on that on your website? We're going
so
to be.
It is so new, Michelle. You've embarrassed me.
No, because I went and looked around already. Where is it hiding?
Honestly, you and our listeners are the first people I've spoken publicly about this. So what's going to happen is in the next few days, and literally by early next week, there will be a lot more detail about this on judecoven.com, but also we're going to be starting a new website called Path, hopefully called Path for Hope, in the next few weeks. We're going to go on Facebook and Twitter, but in the meantime, as we get that ready, I'm going to send everybody who's expressed interest in this, everybody who's on our current e-list and all the contacts I know have huge e-lists of their own, so that we can get the ball rolling on this. And anyone who wants to be added to the e-list for Path for Hope in the short term can email me, jude@judecoven.com. And as soon as the website's up, there'll be an invite and a click on the Path for Hope website so that they can be automatically included there. We're going to have a forum so people can share their experiences and add their insights. So it's a seed that over the next few weeks will become rooted, and our first step of the Path for Hope begins actually on the 30th of June when I'm leading a group to Ethiopia that goes back to the very beginnings of humanity's journey to be in service to almost like a rebirth starting from that point.
Now, I feel very honored and blessed, and listeners, as you are to be as well. Here's your directive. You have to be. No, no, because I remember the Aquarian alignment that you did.
Yes.
That was birthed here too. You said, oh, and someone said, oh, would you do a newsletter? And so here we go. So,
yeah,
for the path for hope. And if you want to get on the e-list for that, that's Jude at judecurivan.com. And that's JudeCurivan.com. Or you can go to the website as well, I think, probably.
Absolutely, yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, with the Path for Hope and assisting and facilitating in this healing, Jude, what does that look like? What do you do? I don't think we've ever really talked about this because I know you're globetrotting all the time. I think last time we spoke, you were in Japan, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I know workshops and stuff, but what is the logistics of the work that you're doing look like?
Oh, Michelle, it's so broad. I mean, what I'm finding now is that I'm moving really in many ways beyond workshops, and it's working with leaders of all persuasions to really have the courage to embrace this radical change around the world. So I'm involved with progressively more and more initiatives to really support this shift at the bigger picture level. But the aspect of it that's the path for hope, what we'll be doing through the website and through sort of social networking such as Twitter and Facebook and the forums is that we'll be having regular attunements so that as a global community we can come together with an intention to offer healing to specific situations. But what I'll be doing is I'll be doing a lot of writing because a lot of my work is trying to understand, as a healer, the causes of schisms. So, for example, going back to the seed points of what's happening, for example, in the Middle East, and the links between people and places that may go back centuries, millennia, whatever. I mean, just to give you an example of this, Ethiopia, as our listeners may know, is called the cradle of humanity because the earliest hominids skeletons have been found there. And the one that's been reported most recently is called Ardi, A-R-D-I. And Ardi and her kin go back 4.4 million years. And their remains were found in what's called the Afar region of northern Ethiopia. And the Afar region straddles, it's actually on the Great Rift Valley. Now, the Great Rift Valley runs from most of Africa up through the Red Sea, up through the Jordan Valley. So it's right through the Middle East. And if you look on the rift over many, 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 many millennia, there have been genocides, there's been horrendous things happening. And so, in a sense, our very earliest experience of what it was to be human was born on the rift. Born on the rift. And interestingly enough, in the Mayan astronomy, and of course it's the Mayans who gave us the understanding of the importance of 2012, but in Mayan astronomy, and actually you can see it if you look up and look at the Milky Way, there is a band of dust that runs right along the plane of the Milky Way. And the Mayans used to call it the Black Road, but other people called it the Dark Rift. Mm. So there is a rift valley that runs through a lot of our history and a lot of old schisms. And there's also a rift that runs along the plane of the Milky Way. Now, it so happens that this time around 2012, the path of the sun is actually intersecting that rift at the galactic center. So what we have is the sun, our soul, if you like, the soul of our solar system, at the very center, at the very intersection of that rift. But the other name for the rift is the path of rebirth.
Mm.
So in a sense, we have an opportunity at this incredible moment to go from a rift to a rebirth.
Yeah, I find it interesting too, the name rift.
That's
amazing. And there's, you know, it's interesting you're saying this. I got this download the other day about how the what we have on the earth, the crystals and the minerals, it's a composite or the same thing as what we have planetarily of the same stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of reinforcing that as above is so below. So as you're saying this, there's this, you know, cosmological or galactic rift or out into you know the space, if you will, and then also here on the earth plane.
Absolutely. And, you know, our reality is the expression of consciousness as a cosmic hologram, scaling up, scaling down. So, you know, when we do our own inner healing work, we're also radiating that healing into the you know, the non-local collective consciousness. Mm-hmm. So we're scaling up personally, our families, our nations, our collective, our world, our Gaia, our solar system, our galaxy, and on. So we are seen as above, so below. And so the rift in the Milky Way with the sun at the very heart of this now is also the opportunity for us to move from rifting to rebirthing. And so for us, in a way, going back to Ethiopia, is the intention as healers is to go back, to put our intention back 4.4 million years with the intention to be in service to that rebirthing from the very beginning. It's almost like resetting the psyche.
But in a sense, if I'm hearing you correctly, we are all born with this rift,
yes,
in a sense.
But indeed, but of course we're all part. I mean, what's incarnating now is an aspect, merely one aspect, of our much, much greater consciousness.
Mm-hmm, right.
And our
so to this level, just this dimension.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, I don't know how many of our listeners will resonate with this, but in the planetary work that I and many others have been doing, I keep saying this and asking the question, and more people are going, yes, if the ancestors are coming forward at this time.
Oh, yeah.
We're not going back to them. They're coming forward.
Yes.
To us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, it is this as above, so below, this resonance, because what I write about in the 13th step was that on the 23rd of December in 2003, we, you know, as healers, we opened a connection between the Earth and the galactic center. And that really, in my sense of it, began a 9-year gestation period of this change. It was like, this opportunity, this potentiality of shift and rebirthing was seeded at the December solstice 2003. And it was very interesting that José Arguelles talked about the Venus transit of June of 2004, 6 months later, as being the first sign of this. So it's almost like, you know, when you get pregnant, but it takes you a little while to realize.
You know, absolutely, that you
are. I feel we got collectively pregnant at the December solstice of 2003.
Well, we're feeling it now.
We sure are, because we're heading into the third trimester.
Yeah.
We are literally heading into the third trimester now. So it's amazing times, and of course the Venus transit, and Venus is amazing in her influences in this process, because of course we've got the second of that partner transits in June of 2012.
Mm. June of 2012, you're saying?
It's June, yeah. Uh-huh. It was June of 2004. She has an 8-year cycle that's based on a fivefold, you know, Venus is represented by a fivefold star very often. Mm-hmm. And each of the sides of that fivefold star, five-pointed star, lasts about 1.618 years. So she plays out the golden mean both in time and in space. And of course, the golden mean, you know, Fibonacci is all about evolution.
Mm. What's interesting is that we're in this evolutionary pattern, as well as it's on this layer, I guess, or dimension. It's we're in it, facilitating it, co-creating it, and it's also happening to us.
Yes, because we're all, you know, we're all microcosms at the, if you like, this human aspect level, but our consciousness is vastly more than the bit of us that's having this conversation. And so we're both intending at that higher level, but we're also playing it out at this level. And I feel that that's crucial, because if we're to manifest the shift, if it is to be a breakthrough, then my understanding is we have to keep showing up.
Mm.
We have to keep walking this path, literally, for hope. All of us, or as many of us who are able to, feel called to, because we literally, as we said earlier, this is a shift for all of us, whether we're awake or whether we're not, whatever part we're playing or not, in my understanding.
Now, when you are meeting with these, doing these initiatives and meeting with these dignitaries, if you will, and which is interesting, because at the top of the hour we were talking, I was sharing about how in the converging flow that people are coming from all walks of life with consciousness, even politically, locally, globally, politically, stock market, whatever, people are placed there to kind of guide the way into the more expanded consciousness, which I'm excited. So this is what you're doing. How do they come to you, and are you finding them receptive?
Well, I haven't a clue, basically. They're just showing up. Literally, I mean, the synchronicities have been extraordinary. And I'm finding that over the last year especially, those synchronicities, the connections, the interconnectivity at those levels is just unfolding in an incredible way. You know, it's ambassadors, it's CEOs of huge businesses, it's peers of the realm, it's people who belong to the biggest banking families in the world that want to change, that are acting within their own families as seed points of change. So you're right, you know, we're all going through this together, and there's no rule that says you can't get a politician or a banker or a business person or a whatever, whoever, who also isn't waking up. There are a lot of them that are. And somehow we're all finding each other.
Yeah, and that so fascinates me, so excites me, that it's not dependent. Like, if the old paradigm was dependent on what you did, what you looked like on the outside, you know, you had to wear white or a turban or whatever, you know, you had to... Right? You had to, you know.
Or in my case, a very bad Hawaiian shirt and a pair of jeans, but hey.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You had to look a certain way, you know. But now it's so much more about the consciousness and infusing those specific arenas or areas with that consciousness so that it's in all forms.
It is, and I would just, you know, I encourage people, invite people, encourage people to show up in whatever way in their own lives. And one of the things that I'd really appreciate your sense of, but as a Brit who loves America, I was there, and I think I told you this, the night of the election just over a year ago, and there was such hope, but what I feel somehow happened in the last year was, first of all, the president and the administration were not radical enough.
Yeah.
They had the mandate and they just weren't radical enough. But I also remember very much what Obama said all through the campaign and at the inauguration and at the election was, we can do it. And I can rather than say, I can't do this alone. And I do get a sense that a lot of people, and you know, it's as my mother used to say, it's six of one and half a dozen of the other. So I'm not, there's not blaming anyone, I'm just saying my sense of this is that, you know, people needed to show up too, across the grassroots. And you know, it's happening now, and I'm delighted it's happening now, but I think the whole of America needs to wake up and needs to embrace radical change and needs to really support and push and encourage and applaud the administration the more radical it becomes in a positive way.
I think because so much was said in the beginning about this change, and there have, you know, really hasn't been, and you know, we've got the lobbyists here, and you know, people, there's a lot of disappointment.
Yes, and rightly so, and I think Obama's very disappointed as well, because I think what he felt might happen, as if he literally could reach across and create something centrist, and what he didn't, I think, count for to anything like the degree that was needed, was just how much vested interests will try and hold on to the status quo.
Yes.
And use whatever tools in their armory to do that. And that's why I feel that he should have reached out and really almost continued to campaign at a grassroots level to get the support and the popular, you know, the silent majority do need to become the active majority.
And, you know, I agree with you. I think one thing that will do it, and I've myself lived, you know, in other countries and traveled around the world. One thing I do see, and I'm having been born American, there is still a lot like to, we're waiting for the mommy and daddy, the government or corporations.
Yeah.
Like, there's a sentiment that still is out there that it's somehow going to get back to how it used to be.
It isn't.
No.
It isn't.
No. But I think that's this change that you're speaking of, Judith.
Yes. Yes.
I think as people are more hit economically and in those kinds of terms of whether it's monetary or energy or looking around and saying, ooh, I'm not being helped in this way, then I think the entrepreneurial spirit will kick in, and then maybe that will bring people beyond bipartisan views, beyond, you know, red state, blue state, you know, or, you know, Democrat, Republican. Then I think people will say, heck, doesn't matter what, you're in the same boat I'm in or the same canoe, let's do it together. But I unfortunately think that that's a big piece for people in the states, because so much of what they only wanted was as long as they, you know, pretty much in the general populace, got married, had a certain type of house and certain type of cars, and their kids were, you know, provided for, and they could have barbecues or whatever, they were fine. So it's a little complacency within, I think, maybe because we're so young, maybe there, as a country, maybe we're learning something new.
Well, you know, that's true of all of us, because we're a lot older than you guys. In fact, my cottage is older than your country. My house is older than your country. But, you know, we're needing to learn too, because we've gone through that. You know, we're in that place too. And certainly I feel that for all of us, a rebalancing of rights and responsibilities, and a reaching out to each other. And the thing that hurts me, and it really does hurt me because I do love the States, is how it has become so polarized and ideologically polarized, which really doesn't do anybody any good. And I think there's a lot of posturing along with that polarization. I think there's a lot of people who almost really don't believe, certainly I'm talking to politicians now, you know, who really don't believe the extremity of the polarization, but their own fear, if you like, is driving them to that place. And I don't know, but I'm hopeful that this year, however it does happen, that we're going to find ways of reaching out to each other and celebrating the things that bring us together. I mean, one of the things that we found with the snow that we've just had here, you know, the most snow we've had for 30 years, is that people weren't able to go into work for a few days. People were, you know, because everything sort of literally ground to a standstill, were really pathetic. You know, you guys can handle 3 feet of snow, 3 inches is a big deal to us. But it was a bit more than that. But what was so wonderful is people really reached out and began to help each other far more. They had more time to consider each other. You know, kids and adults were having these really fun times in the snow. And it really, I hope, was although we're now back to so-called normal, whatever normal is, yeah, I think that will perhaps stay with us. And we've got an election coming up, and we need radical change as much as anyone else does.
Yeah, one of the things I feel with the division, my sense is we've always had this division in the state. I feel like it's, I'll get graphic, you know, in the in Europe they call them spots, here we call them, you know, pimples. I think it's like when you pick it or punch, you know, whatever it is, you push it. I think that's what's happening. I think the pimple has been there for so long, but now it's like people are really seeing, you know, we're talking about things that, you know, race, you know, institutionalized racism, you know, which to me the blue state, red state is a kind of a form of racism too. It's kind of, I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's all that kind of prejudice
it's
stuff.
Prejudice. It's prejudice. Whatever, color or not, it's a prejudice. It's saying that person is different and therefore somehow either I fear them or I'm not as good as them or I'm better than them. You know, it's prejudice, whatever form it takes.
And you know, my sense, and you were speaking earlier, being these galactic humans. In that case, we have to expand beyond, you know, ethnicity, color of skin, religion, red and blue. You know, we have to expand our boundaries and see ourselves differently.
Absolutely. I mean, my own sense, my own understanding is that there are a lot of extraterrestrial beings that are keeping a very close watch on us at the moment, and we're essentially in quarantine. And, you know, if we make it, we make it. And we'll grow up, and we will get over those ridiculously shallow differences. I mean, one of the things that geneticists finally realized a few months ago is that they finally tracked back the origins of modern humans, Homo sapiens sapiens, and realize that between about 70 and 90,000 years ago, all the people, other than those who, you know, were taken out of Africa through slavery or other means, but all those peoples who essentially populated Asia, Europe, and then the Americas, came out of Ethiopia, literally the Horn of Africa, between 70 and 90,000 years ago. There was a very narrow strait then between the Horn of Africa and what is now Arabia. But they reckon that population of people from which every one of us of Asian European descent come from are about 200 people.
Mm.
200 people.
And it started from 200 people?
Yeah. Modern humanity came from a community, and it probably wasn't even a community, it was probably groups that over perhaps two or three generations were able to get over that strait, so it couldn't have been easy. So we're talking about a population that are our ancestors at that point of the origins of modern humanity that were no more in number than 200. We are all related.
All related.
At an incredibly fundamental level.
Mm-hmm. I love, on a kind of a side note to this, but it does tie in, but it's a funny tie-in. A comedian here in the States, I don't know if you know of him, but George Lopez, he has this show Lopez Tonight.
Right.
But what he does, he's so funny. His humor is just amazing. But he does, with some guests, he does DNA testing.
Excellent.
Yes, and I got it. I went, wow, he's bringing people together. So you may see, and he's funny about it. He's Hispanic, but he has 4% sub-Saharan. So he keeps talking about how he's part African, you know.
Yeah.
And so he's showing how everyone is interconnected, no matter what the color of their skin is.
Absolutely.
There's this melding, you know.
Yeah. You know, you go back even further. You do go back to the very origins of humanity. And again, you know, there's almost been bottlenecks. There have been times when humanity almost died out. And that sort of very small population that became so many of us and intermingled and all of the rest of it. But if you go back still further, you know, something like 300,000 or 400,000 years ago, we were down to an even smaller group that we can trace our ancestry back to.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right, it's just so tiny, the variations. And we make such a big thing about it. And unless we get over those and reach out and really come together as a human family, you know, well, you know, there's a book out called, you know, The Earth Without Us, because I don't feel we are sustainable as a species unless we do grow up in that way.
Yeah, that we get along. We need to have that.
We get along.
Yeah.
We get along. Because we've got the toys we have, the toys, you know, the toys we have, are too destructive. If we can't get along, they will destroy us. We will destroy each other.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel we're on that road, or is it still, we haven't quite got to that tipping point yet?
My own personal sense is that we've got what's called a grand cross coming up this summer, astrologically, and it's a cardinal grand cross, and it's very, very powerful, and it takes place sort of June, July to August over this summer. And my sense is that's going to be it's literally like a crossroads in our journey. It feels to me it could be. And so I'm encouraging everybody that I'm speaking to realize that's coming and to really do their own inner work, if at all possible, you know, now and going forward, and take the opportunity as things come up to deal with them and to really go to their own inner depths of healing. And that's why it feels important that we're beginning the path for hope now.
Yeah.
But makes the full house. I was talking with Barbara Marks Hubbard the other day, who's absolutely phenomenal, wonderful lady. And she used to work with Buckminster Fuller. And Bucky once said, and this was a long time ago, but he was a great mystic as well as a wise man, and he said he saw us playing out, you know, the positive, negative, light, shadow, breakthrough, breakdown scenario almost to the wire.
Yeah.
And that's what it feels like. We're just doing that.
It does feel that way, as well as to me. I see how reticent, because you have a certain part of the populace that is kind of feeling the call or the nudge through aspiration or inspiration, but the majority is not having that reality, and it's almost like they want to get to, like you said, that push-pull, that they want to get it to the pinnacle, the very height of that expression and that experience. But I like what you said, the inner work, because really I think the more we are working on ourselves and getting clearer, the more we're, you know, meeting like this and sharing and affirming this, at least we're not in the push-pull.
Exactly. And you know, the other thing that I've noticed, and I'd appreciate any of our listeners, you know, their views on this and your view on this, but it seems to me that for a long, long time, those guys that sort of were waking up and becoming conscious of all of this were like cells. You know, they were seeding within themselves and seeding in the work they were doing and the way they were changing their lives, but rather as individual cells. And gradually, but more and more rapidly, it feels now as though the cells are coming. You know, we talked earlier about coming together, but it feels on so many levels now that these cellular initiatives are now becoming organisms. You know, we're going to that next emergent level where, you know, the therapists are becoming more and more together. I've noticed a lot of filmmakers who are making films about, you know, the shift, the breakthrough, whatever, are starting to co-create together. And so we're moving, I think, to this next emergent level of the holographic expression of our consciousness, where I think we can see change actually in a very much more accelerated way as a result of that. That's what happens when you get an emergent evolutionary event, and I think that's what's happening.
And maybe that's also the energy that's pushing a lot of people, or they're feeling the push or the call, however you want to put it. They're feeling like they need to do, you know, more. I don't know about you. I've been hearing that. I need to do more, especially just the last few weeks. Like you said, this third trimester, it seems that people are feeling more motivated, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly how it feels. And, you know, when we look at, you know, the worldview of everything is consciousness exploring itself, this patterning, this pushing, this pulling is as though it's new templates forming in the etheric.
Yes, that's exactly. But that is, I think, to me, the not the mystery, the kind of the amazement in this, the awe, is that we are shifting from that level as we're responding to this energy, and as we respond to it, we're shifting it on that minute level. So the new template is being created.
Yeah, yeah. And the more that we then, you know, bring that into our consciousness at this level, this realm, then the more it literally, you know, it crystallizes.
Mm.
So it's like the sort of strange attractors that underlie all reality. What we're doing is we're co-creating a new pattern, a new attractor.
Yeah.
And what new attractors do, they both pull us forward, but then the old patterns, the old attractors lose their energy. So it's not so much a push, it's just that the old patterns just lose their energy.
They lose, That's why I keep telling people, don't bother with the other old, just do a parallel.
Just co-create the new patterns, the new attractors, because they will pull us collectively to that new, higher, emergent level of collective consciousness.
Oh, brilliant. I also want to say, if you would like to call in, the number is 347-539-5122. We did have an area code 563. If you're listening, you can call back in. And we do have a caller, 575-776. You're on the air with Dr. Jude Kervin. Hello.
Hello.
Let's see. Not coming up. Hi, 575.
Hello.
Hello, 575.
Hello, is this Michelle Miche?
Yes, it is. And you're on.
This is Dougie Slap calling from the chat room. How are you?
Oh, wonderful. And meet Dr. Jude Kervin.
And how are you, Dr. Jude? How are you?
I'm very well, my dear. It's lovely to hear your voice.
Wonderful insights, which is great. That's one of the things that I would just like to share one little comment in, and it's almost like we're moving from the particle through the wave to a holographic understanding, and people are simply realizing that individuality as an entity unto itself isn't working and doesn't work, and the only thing that we are in our own life and in our relationship to others is a collective state.
I totally agree with you. You know, when Einstein talked about relativity, in other words, everything's in relationship with each other, I call it relativity, because that is reality. As you say, we only experience ourselves in relationship. And what I love is that holographic, the way that, because all that we call reality is expressed holographically, those relationships, you know, go from the most minute, the relationship with ourselves, through relationship with friends and family and up to the collective and then just to the wider cosmos. And I love that we're literally waking up and remembering that we are part of this incredible holographic conscious cosmos.
Well, you know what's interesting about that is if we understand that love is a state of existence, and then it's a relationship between what it is within the context of our life and also within the context of the life of others, there's only one thing that you have with love is the connection that it has between differing states of the same thing, because everything is a representation of love within a medium that's infinite.
Yes.
Now, Jude, do you feel we went, in a sense, as far as we could as a collective into individuation, that this separating out, and we're coming together? How do you view that?
Well, I feel, sorry, is it Dougie?
Yeah.
Hi, Dougie. I think you said it beautifully. It's that, you know, as we've come into incarnation throughout the sort of the whole experience of being human and on the physical realm, we've experienced and explored polarity-based consciousness. And the deeper you go into polarity, it essentially gives us the illusion of duality or separation. And it feels to me that, you know, we pushed that as pretty much as far as we can. And now we're on a path that moves from duality, perception of separation, through to polarity, where we start to realize that connectivity, to relativity, when we truly are remembering the wholeness of all that we are. And as Dougie says, you know, that love literally is all that is.
Mm.
Because for me, the obverse of love isn't hate, it's fear. Fear is an apparent, a perceived, an illusory separation that doesn't exist. But as we go deeper and deeper into that duality, polarity, that's what we perceive. And now we're returning and remembering that we truly are all one.
Mm.
Yeah, throw in there that if we understand that the creative agency that exists is the will of God, and that it creates love and light that becomes conscious of itself, and then when will, love, and light become conscious, it does one thing: it contributes what it is as that for the entire creation. And all that we are doing through our evolution is we are becoming conscious of the nature of the self as the will of God that exists as love and light, which we can think of as an embodied spirituality that consciously is simply contributing itself to itself as what it is, so that everything that is contributed to understands from its perspective that it's the same love and light as a state of conscious awareness.
Yeah, we're literally reflecting the divinity within each other. Thank you.
I'm
going
to jump off
Thank
of
you.
Here. Michelle, I need to leave for work, so I just wanted to call in and say hi and see how everybody was doing and stuff, and thank you for taking my phone call. And Dr. Jude, absolutely wonderful what you share, and it's just great. And it's like like-minded people are coming together, and we're saying, hey, we're speaking the same language. And I just have a feeling that the reason why there is this idea of end times is that fear as a predominator and individuality as a starkness are simply coming to an end, and we're going to get back to humanity, we're going to get back to community, we're going to get back to getting along and that type of thing.
Wonderful.
Oh, bless you, Dougie. Absolutely, wholeheartedly agree with you. And have a great day.
All righty. Well, thank you very much. And Michelle, always good to hear the sound of your voice, and great show as usual. And I'll just see you and talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
All righty. Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. And we had a wonderful, love hearing the voices. Anyone else would like to call in? 347-539-5122. I did have an email question. I don't know if this might be right up your alley about, does DNA emit light?
Everything emits light. Everything emits light. And there's been some wonderful work done, and a lot more needs to be done, about the way in which higher dimensions of light, if we can call it that, and I don't want to go into the physics of it because it's quite complex, but essentially, you know, connect with, if you like, the physical electromagnetic light to form the templates of our physical bodies. And so all aspects of ourselves emit what's called biophotons. They're very, very subtle, very weak, that they exist. And what a lot of researchers now are understanding, that it's absolutely minute electric currents, and the radiation, the emission, and the transduction of light that really holds our bodies together. It forms the templates of our bodily systems.
Okay, and it's called the biophotons of light?
Biophotons. If the guys who are listening would like, or the person you emailed in, Google biophotons, B-I-O-P P-H-O-T-O-N-S.
Okay.
And they're photons or little packets of energy. You know, light comes in little packets of energy, quanta of energy, and for light they're called photons. And all biophotons are light photons that are associated with biological organisms.
Wonderful. Well, they can hear that and they can get it down the email. I love that. Multitasking, multidimensional realities, all happening simultaneously.
It's just as well I'm not trying to cook dinner while we're speaking.
That's
though.
Right.
That might be a multitasking too far.
That's right. And Jude, I wanted you to touch on, because I love what you are saying about 2012. There's a lot of fear on this, and you look at it as a positive new beginning and a lot of potential there, potentiality there. Can you share with us a bit of your understanding and insight on this?
Yeah, well, for many years, Michelle, as you know, I've been sort of traveling the world and working on that sort of collective and planetary level, and everything that I've been given, either, you know, from my guides and from many wisdom keepers around the world, and wisdom keepers on multi-dimensions, the ancestors, yeah, are all saying the same thing, that this is an opportunity, this is an evolutionary opportunity that is here for us, that we have to show up, we have to have the courage to make that shift, to go forward. But, you know, the Mayan elders say the same thing. It was the Mayans who instituted this 5,123, whatever it is, years, 5125 years of a long count calendar that ends at the December solstice of 2012. And they, too, say that this is an opportunity for a breakthrough, a shift of consciousness, a rebirthing. And I write about the importance of 12 into 13 as a harmonic of consciousness, where that 12 into 13 essentially is embodying Christed awareness. Mm-hmm. And so it's no accident that we're talking about the cusp of 2012 into 2013. But a good person to listen to, if you want to listen to, or if our listeners want to listen to the Mayans themselves, is a gentleman called Don Alejandro Cirilo Perez Oshla. What a wonderful name.
Mm-hmm.
And Don Alejandro Cirilo Perez Oshla. And if you Google Don, D-O-N, Alejandro, A-L-E-J-A-N-D-R-O, you'll find him. And he's a 13th generation Mayan leader. He's the head. He's the elder of elders of the Maya. And he says exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
But this is an opportunity for us to shift into, emerge into a new golden age, a golden age that we've never experienced before.
Mm.
This isn't a going back. This, going back to what I was saying about spirals, this is a spiral taking us to a whole new level.
We're spiraling upward.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's something, and you said it earlier, that the ancestors coming forward, that it's a lot is bringing everything forward into that present. And if you think about it, to acknowledge and live our simultaneous existence, we still are moving past, present, future, but there seems to be less and less of that as more is being come forward right here, right now.
It feels that. It feels like this rebirth process is almost like a resetting process at that next higher level. And to shift to that, we really are needing to heal ourselves, the entirety of the consciousness of ourselves and Gaia as co-creative partners in evolution. So for me, it literally, every being, as all the children of Gaia, from the very beginning of life on Earth, is coming forward at this time. I have known many people around the world, many healers, many people working with Gaia as a living being, as I am, who are finding that they're able to communicate with animals at a much more profound level than they've ever been able to before. They're communicating, if people are working with crystals, they're working, you mentioned minerals and crystals earlier. Literally, you know, the veils are coming down between dimensions and between realms, and therefore, you know, we're all realizing that we are part of this incredible collective consciousness that will either break through together or not. But I'm incredibly excited. And my mother used to say, my darling mum, I'm all unnecessary. I'm all unnecessary. I'm so excited.
Me too. And I don't know, you know, I thought, well, what's the alternative? You know, it is very awe-inspiring times. There's a lot of potential. I mean, if you think about it, you know, that even new forms of working and living and really a time of freeing up.
Yes. Yes.
It's another component of this, it seems.
And, you know, we have spent, because we've sort of lived, and this is what the Mayan, I think, Mayan wisdom also teaches us, is about being present and being in the present. Because for them, time isn't linear. There are these great cycles, these great spirals of experience. And, you know, to live, to be in the present, because this is the only place, the here and now is truly the only point that we can co-create with and from and as.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when we worry about the future, all we're doing is dissipating our energy. Where we're either regretting or trying to hold on to the past, all we're doing is dissipating our energy. And this is about bringing all that we are into this present moment to fully be who we really are.
Mm.
And we are magnificent. We are divine beings, truly of light. So let us wake up. Let us go into the heart, the universal heart, of who we really are, and then come together and co-create something so magnificent, so incredible, that we can bequeath that to our children and their children and their children.
Mm. Beautifully put, Jude. Beautifully put. And I so, so wholeheartedly agree. You know, and we only can do that by being in this present moment.
Yeah. Yes, we can. Well, I've never heard that before.
Yeah,
yes,
I don't
we
get,
can.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Oh, Jude, thank you so much for being on Awakenings and sharing. This has been absolutely, as always, but heartfelt and such wonderful information and insight from you. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your very full schedule to share with us on Awakenings.
Oh, bless you, Michelle. It's always my joy to be with you guys. And you know, I love this, and I'm so grateful for Dougie calling in and the person who emailed in. And, you know, whenever you'd like to invite me, I'll be with you.
Oh, great. Thank you. Open invite always.
God bless you.
And those, again, that are listening for more information of Path for Hope, as well as some of the amazing books and CDs that Jude does have to assist you on your path and bring more awareness and support, you can go to judekurivan.com, and that's judekurivan.com. Thank you so much, listeners, participants, for being here and helping to co-create this meeting point and sharing point. And as always, until next time, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and keep awake.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Jim. Awakenings airs every Wednesday and Friday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. For information, Thank you, Jude Kurivan, as always. Wonderful to have you with us here.